Hello, everyone. This is James Matheson, Chair of the Health Inequality Standing Group at the Royal College of GPs, and I'm delighted to be joined today by Christiana Mellum, who is CEO of the National Association of Link Workers. Further to the resources that are now available on the Health Inequalities Learning Hub, we're going to be talking about how we in primary care can best work with social prescribing link workers. Christiana, how are you?
Thanks so much, James. I'm really doing really well and excited to be here. I've been looking forward to the podcast. I'm looking forward to sharing some learning and answering all your questions to the benefit of the members.
Brilliant. So let's start with the basics. Could you tell us what exactly are social prescribing link workers?
So they are the creative disruptors who are reducing inequalities and powering up integrated care. It's very important to understand that they are leading on a social innovation. So this isn't something that is just a role. It's leading on a change that is required within the way that we deliver healthcare, because we know that some of the factors that affect our health are driven by environmental and social factors. So trying to separate the social factors and the medical factors just means that we're not delivering holistic care to people and people are going round and round in circles. We know that patients assess medical care and assess their GP practice for both the social and medical needs. And a lot of people listening to this podcast, you know what I'm saying. You know what you see in the consultation room. You know that some of those factors are things that you cannot deal with. Your medical training is not there to be supporting people on those needs, but they are coming to you for that. So that it means that people are telling us that you are my practice, you are my general practitioner. So I don't know that those conditions or some of those things that I'm raising as a concern, I don't have to medicalize that. So as a professional, needs to identify that is a need that's affecting my health and not encourage me to medicalize it or unnecessarily putting pressure to be put on certain pills or wanting a magic fix. There are things in life that you need to be supported to deal with those life issues. There is no medication or magic tablet for that. So the social prescribing link workers enables then general practice to have an offer for those patients that a medical intervention is not appropriate for them, or those patients that they actually need some of the social factors to be addressed in order for the medical intervention to be effective. So now we can actually have a mechanism to offer holistic support to people. And it's also about making sure that there is that glue that glues general practice to the community and all the services and all the things that's happening around the area. Because surely it needs to be about empowering individuals, empowering the communities to take control of their health and well-being. You can't save somebody who doesn't want to save themselves. So there is a need here to empower individuals to actually save themselves. And some of these things that are driven by social and environmental factors. And also the community is there to help to sustain the support. So that the issue is the over-reliance or dependence on the GP to do all these things. And the GP is just the person you go for everything. Now, having a workforce that can actually help to enable the GPs to focus on the medical aspects, that actually, to me, enables continuity of care, because then you can see what the social prescribing link worker has done on the social side. And then at least you know that bit has been sorted and hopefully the clinical discussions can be more focused.
So that leads us rather nicely into what was going to be my next question. So we in the world of health inequality spend a lot of time talking about those things you were just talking about: empowerment, community, holism, social determinants of health. How would you see link workers' particular role in addressing health inequalities?
Well, they are the enablers. That means that we can, again, another vehicle and a mechanism. We know that health inequalities, I mean, it's something that has been an unfair disadvantage that is historic. So there's no magic wand, but they are the ones that will enable us to make sure we hone in. They will enable us to stop admiring the problem or talking about health inequalities. Let's now get to the bottom of it and start doing something about it. So if you like, they're the ears and the eyes of GPs, because they have the time up to an hour on different sessions they have with their patients to get to the root cause of the matter. These are some things they will not tell you in the 10 minutes, 15 minutes appointment. But when they engage with the social prescribing link worker, they're able to actually open up a bit more. And because the social prescribing link worker Walker's model is underpinned by the social model of health and social determinants. So they make observations from that holistic point of view. So one of the strengths that they have is that they know their community. So therefore, they're able to provide real intelligence. These are not intelligence that you get from huge data. These are raw, real intelligence, which then means that the general practice being the front door, and now we've got primary care networks, you know, looking at the health of the population, you can truly know what the real problems are because the social prescribing link workers have the time to get to the root cause of the problem. And there is that intelligence gathering that they provide, which then enables the right decisions or the right services to be designed. We've had people that have struggled through the bereavement, and some of the social prescribing link workers have been able to engage their practice to set up a peer support for that bereavement group within the practice. So this sort of social innovation and the general practice being there for all and thinking creatively about how it can support. We had in Liverpool where one of the social prescribing link workers, because she's also a community activist and very grounded within the community, so she knows of the WhatsApp groups and all the kind of like Facebook groups and all of that. And within a few minutes, they were able to set up a pop-up clinic, and they don't have to reach. It's just that somebody needs to reach them. And they were able to exceed the targets that they had. And the social prescribing link workers were able to remove the barriers to make sure that they arrange for people that can speak in other languages. So they are uniquely placed to enable us to proactively reach the vulnerable communities, those that are experiencing these health inequalities. And they will then enable the GPs to stay on track, because they will be reminding you and they will be saying, what about this community? What about this community? This is what's going on. This is what's going on. So that way you can actually have a full picture about what is going on, which you cannot get from a 15 to 10 minutes appointment.
You mentioned there a couple of times working with vulnerable people. We've been hearing about these specialist roles evolving from link workers working with particular groups of people. Could you perhaps tell us a bit more about those?
Yes. And I think that another thing with that I want to say about inequalities and social justice is that social injustice in a way it stereotypes people and put them into groups, and by default that silences their voices. Whereas these people actually have got something to give. And this is the beauty of social prescribing. It's about empowerment and enablement. It's not just saying, oh, this is the vulnerable communities. Oh, let's go. It's about empowering and enabling people to take control. Because ultimately, it has to be about taking control, the individual taking control of their life, of all these issues that are affecting them, and the communities taking control. And that then means that it's about identifying certain vulnerable cohorts. So if you look at your population data and you're speaking to your social prescribing link workers, gathering that soft intelligence, what the population health data says for your area, that means there can be that proactive case finding. We cannot just wait in for people to come to us. And we know that there is a need to have inclusive practice. It's about access, inequality. Some of the things that drive that as well is when people are not having access to healthcare as well. And then having a dedicated link worker. So everything is driven by local need. If you're in an area where you have got homelessness is a problem. And of course, we know, I know my experience of working in general practice, sometimes they used to come to our practice there and just sit at the reception area. And, you know, so all these inequalities, they do have impacts on general practice. And then some practices have decided to have a homelessness link worker to deal with that problem, to support that cohort so that there's active support. And the beauty that social prescribing brings, it's about enabling people to be active participants within their community. So they're not burdened to healthcare, they're not burdened to themselves and having a reason to leave. And then in some areas, we're beginning to see it's got children and young persons link worker. Some areas got migrants groups a link worker. And historically, they've always been in some areas of dementia, a link worker that's focusing on that, have got MacLean and cancer link workers. This is all sort of innovation, but it comes down to understanding what we are talking about here, that this is about creatively disrupting health inequalities, which has a huge burden on healthcare, most of the drivers in general practice, as well as secondary care, you know, and even emergency services, it is the inequalities that is driving that. So we need to move from admiring the problem to doing something about it, to looking at our patient cohorts and addressing the problem and therefore the opportunities for having thematic link workers or specialist link workers to help us to address those problems if that is a huge number of people that are experiencing that needs to be sorted. And I think that going forward, we actually need to do more of that if we are to make progress on reducing health inequalities.
So you've been telling us about all of these wonderful things that link workers are currently doing and can do, but these are really big and really challenging roles and huge issues to be taken on. Could you perhaps tell us more about the challenges facing individual link workers, but also the link worker profession as a whole at the moment?
Yes, that's a very, very good question, because they are leading on a social innovation and a fresh approach to delivering healthcare. And of course, some of these groups that they work with, the vulnerable groups of people who've got complex issues and all things going on for them, some of them have not actually been able to open up to anybody in 30 years. So it's quite a lot. The biggest issues that we're facing now is how we retain this workforce. So yes, we've got, you know, general practice is, it's not just about the GP now. General practice, it's about the gateway for your care, the gateway for my care. That's where I go to because my GP offers cradle to grave care, really. So problem, I might not be accessing care at one point, but at one point before I die, I will need that support. So therefore, going into having these multidisciplinary teams is needed. And of course, it's the GPs that actually called for more social prescribing link workers because they know what they're seeing. But that then means the culture needs to change. We need to actually recognize that if you're bringing in more workforce and therefore and responding to the needs of the population, you need to be prepared for them. So we are having issues now with retention. And I think that this is something we need to be taking seriously. It's the Royal College of GPs, but the people that are working in general practice, it's not just GPs. These are your staff. So we did a survey last year and it revealed that 1 in 3 social prescribing link workers plan to resign within the next year because of a lack of support and clinical supervision. Everyone's baby is no one's baby. So some of them feel isolated. They feel like there is no one taking responsibility for their role. They feel like no one actually really cares about what they're doing because of the funding model where it's almost like use it or lose it. And then we run. Let's go and get the money. Yes, we have got our link worker now. Hello. What am I doing? There's no equipment to work with. So, you know, we really need to improve on that because we don't get these wonderful outcomes if we don't support our workforce. If they all leave, if they don't feel part of the practice team, if, you know, even some of them, they don't know if they have any annual leave, appraisal, and all of that. It's just a HR confusion because of the way it's been funded. But ultimately, employers need to take responsibility for this new innovation that has come about. And we ultimately need to make sure that this workforce feels supported, they feel welcome in general practice, they're being empowered to do the job that they are there to do so we can get those outcomes.
So following on from that, perhaps you could share with us some of the do's and don'ts in terms of how we as primary care teams can best welcome and support our link workers who are going to be working with us.
First of all, is to understand their role. So you can't just say, oh, you know, this is part of the network contract and there's no interest in understanding what their role is, what they're there to do. And to be honest, some GPs put their hand up and said, this is a new territory, you know, and they come to National Association of Link Workers. Can you walk us through? And then they're using resources. We need to proactively need to understand what this role is and what the boundaries might be. And those that really get this, they are the ones that are getting most of the outcomes because then they understand how they can utilize the role. Then they're very clear on some of the patient cohorts that they want them to work with. They're very clear on what is needed or what they're going to do. Then you get some that don't really understand it and then it's stay there and doing bloods and role substitution. No, this is not about role substitution. So I know that there are lots of workforce kind of like challenges and workloads. But we ultimately need to understand that we need to be looking at the social inequalities. It's not going away. You can't stop me from coming because I love my GPs. I will go to my GP for both social and medical things. I can't separate between the two. That's where I go to. So I'm coming. So the best thing is for us to make sure that we are designing care and providing the care that people need and not, I don't want to be blamed for using up people's time and all of that. I know something is wrong with me and I'm going there and I need to be educated that I don't need my GP for this bit. And then I navigate it and it all has to be coordinated where I feel it's all part of the general practice team. So role substitution is something that's no. We can't be using a social prescribing link workers to fill gaps. If there are other gaps and other roles that we need, we should be demanding for those and saying we need that and not actually using them to fill up gaps. Then we go around in circles where the person social needs and social factors affecting their health is not addressed, and they keep coming back to the practice, or it deteriorates, and therefore they then end up, their quality of life is reduced as a result. So we need to make sure that that's not happening. We also need to make sure that the social prescribing link workers do have a GP mentor. Everyone's baby is no one's baby. There needs to be guidance that is provided to them, even though they are non-clinical. But I mean, it's just like me, I've also got other kind of like medical issues that need attention. So sometimes when they get the referral, the person has got clinical and non-clinical needs. And then sometimes a little bit of guidance in terms of which comes first, and is it the GP you sort this first or that, you know, a little bit of that, and not just be left in limbo. I mean, you do that for junior doctors and others, and you also bounce up on your colleagues. I see when my GP rings secondary care to get ideas and get opinion. Why are we not doing that for our social prescribing link workers? And you can see the risk and that can bring to the practice. I think if people read our Care for the Carer reports, which highlighted the issues, I'll just read a little bit from that. So the social prescribing link worker said, "I feel that no one is really interested in my role or what I do with clients. I am not valued as a colleague in primary care. I have struggled for over a year to establish a presence in surgeries with no support from the organizations involved in running and commissioning social prescribing. I feel very isolated. I can be quite resilient, but sometimes I leave work feeling hopeless. I lose sleep as my workload is sometimes stressful and difficult to manage, and I have no one to talk to." So it's about making sure that there is access to that GP mentor.
That was really sad and really harrowing to hear the experience of that link worker. And certainly I hope and I know that we can do better as primary care teams in terms of welcoming new members and supporting them. But then moving on to areas where things have gone a bit better, and I know this is the vast majority of people's experiences from the patient perspective, and I think also from the primary care team's perspective. Perhaps you can give us an example or two of how focusing on what link workers perhaps do best helps maximize the benefits both for our patients and also for the primary care teams looking after them too.
So there are lots of examples and the case studies on our website. The link will be shared and people can read it. It's fascinating and really, really warming to actually read the impact that they're making. I'll just use an example of where we can be thinking from a preventative and health inequalities point of view, because I think at this point that general practice needs to look at the way it runs and how can social prescribing link workers complement so that we're not just offering a 100% medical response. So in Wirral, they have looked at their SMER uptake, and they, of course, that is an inequality, so trying to increase the uptake for their SMER. And the nurse worked with the social prescribing link worker to remove the barriers. So people are not assessing these things sometimes because they are barriers. So if you just made a phone call or you just do a test, it might be that they're not engaging because of the barrier. And unless someone removes that barrier, then that means that people are not getting the support that they need, and therefore their quality of care is not improved as a result. So the social prescribing link worker engaged with that, and we're calling some of those vulnerable clients that we're not assessing or have not had their SMER. And by calling them and removing some of the barriers where some of the mobility issues or getting there, because social prescribing link workers are aware of support within the community that can help to remove the barriers. And then that led to the increase in the SMER uptake, you know. So these are simple things that you can be thinking in a creative way. What are the preventative measures which are there to help to reduce inequalities that you've got? And not just offering or focusing on the medical intervention, but we need to be thinking, what is the holistic person-centered offer that we can offer to our patients? How are we helping to increase the uptake of this? And of course, that helps with financial aspect in terms of the rewards that you get for that, as well as increasing good quality outcome for the person and helps people to actually feel more in tune with their own responsibility and looking after their health and well-being and preventing deterioration as well. In some areas, we've got a disabilities link worker that helps to remove some of the barriers that disabled patients were facing. So there's a thing there in terms of access to general practice and having a role there and a role in preventing and not just being an illness service, but actually preventing ill health in the first place on the grounds of social justice and inequalities. And I think by focusing on that, we will then end up having sustainable change rather than waiting for people to get ill and then the burden of illness. We already know that that's huge. Those that already have long-term conditions, they need barriers that are preventing them from looking after their health and well-being to be removed. And those are the things that social prescribing link workers have been doing. Some of that is linked into poverty. We cannot distinguish between poverty and these inequalities. There is a correlation, and it might be by being aware of what support is available in then the community to remove those concerns.
So we've heard a lot about these really brilliant benefits for primary care, especially for our patients in primary care, of having social prescribing link workers in our teams. But you've also been really clear about some big challenges facing the profession as well. What would you say needs to happen to ensure that the link worker role is sustainable, so we can look after the well-being of link workers, not just at our primary care team level, but also across levels nationally and at policy level? See those benefits for our patients continue into the future?
I think change will not come if we don't have cultural change and that leadership. So it's the leader will galvanize people and share what the vision is and try to make sure that it happens. So I think there's a role for the college. So like I've mentioned, now we have got other members of the multidisciplinary teams, which include social prescribing link workers that are there to support general practice to offer holistic services to these patients. So it's not just GP workload. These people are working in general practice. So we need to champion them. We need to say, these are the concerns they're having. We need more social prescribing link workers. There needs to be a bit more team-based care. So I think there needs to be leadership from the college. So we know that the social inequalities and all of that exists. We know, the evidence is there of how these factors affect our health. So trying to separate the medical and social model, it just does not work. It's not sustainable. Even if we recruit 1 million GPs and they're there to be looking at the social needs, that's not what they're there for. So you're quite a very costly resource to be using to do that. And it's good to focus on that bit or be providing the leadership for the members of the multidisciplinary team needs. One person cannot just be the burden bearer for everything. It's just leading burnout. It's just too much. So there's need to have that shared team-based working. So that then means that we need to champion this. You need to champion your workforce. Everyone's baby is no one's baby. We need leadership from the college to help to make sense of the vision. This is a fresh approach. I spoke at the Fresh Approach conference in February that the college led, and this is the fresh approach. So nothing new grows in an old mind. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So if the vision for general practice is a fresh approach, it's about having that multidisciplinary working, then we need to champion all of them. We need to have the GP partners, or even if you're not a GP partner, you can ask questions, what's going on here? Social prescribing link workers, take an interest, understand the role, how some of the social prescribing link workers feels that nobody cares about what they're doing in the first place and the outcomes they're producing. For some people, that's enough to resign because they actually took the role to make an impact. And if people are not interested in the impact they're making, they're not concerned with the money. So some of them have actually resigned as a result of that. And to me, really, general practice is part of the community. It is a community asset. So if social prescribing is there to help to build people's personal resilience in the community, surely they have to champion this. So I really urge people to, this is general practice. Come on, people. Don't lose focus, because you need to champion distance. You need to champion inequalities. You're providing cradle to grave care. And if this is how your patients are feeling and what they're experiencing, somebody needs to say something. Somebody needs to do something about it. The care and the needs are changing. So surely we will need to adapt the way that we work and embrace the change. But then the culture that is needed for that to flourish needs to be there. And these are the things that we need to be looking at. So business as usual is no longer sustainable. It's very costly. It does not work. There's a need to champion social prescribing link workers. The college has a role. GP practices have a role. There needs to be embedding across all levels in general practice. The receptionist needs to get it. Practice managers need to get it. The pharmacist, everybody needs to get it and actually be a champion for this, so that there is that through team-based care and look at how we are going to work together and collaboratively as a team. And I'm pleased to say in some areas, they have the link workers embedded within the MDT. They have the link workers even now in some areas, they're setting up well-being teams. they have the MDT and also have well-being teams where the social prescriber link workers are a part of it. So it's look at those resources. So ignorance and an excuse, because we've got resources to inform you of what you need to do and what you should be doing. So it's time now to make sure that they are embedded. And by looking after them and hearing concerns, it means that you can champion some of those courses, because there are issues around the sustainability as well, also about the funding. So we need to have more social prescribing link workers, and we need GPs actually championing that as well.
We've seen the real power that link workers can have working with people and supporting them to transform the direction of their lives. So I would say it is really worthy cause to champion. Christiana, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing the vision, but also the reality of what is going on in the profession of link workers at the moment. And certainly it sounds like there is a lot more we could be doing in primary care teams to understand and support our link workers going forward. I'm confident that we can do that, and that the resources you have shared with us will really help primary care teams do just that. So it's been a real pleasure speaking with you, and also really hugely informative and motivating for me as well. Thanks again to everyone listening. I hope you found that as useful as I have. Please do have a look through the links that are attached, and please do everything you can to make that link worker you're working with a really hugely valued and supported part of the team, because we know from our experience that our patients can and will hugely benefit. Thank you.